Hello, Elise.
Hi.
And hello, everybody listening and joining us. This is Phil Kaplan, and I'm not going to do a whole long introduction here. I'm just going to start with this. Elise, am I saying your last name correctly if I say Leininger?
Leininger.
Leininger. Is that it?
Close. Leininger.
Leininger. Okay. I'm going to call you Elise, okay?
That's fine.
And let me tell you what I know about you. Now you know I didn't even know how to pronounce your last name. What I know about you is you made $1 million in Lavelle in 1 year. I know something else about you. You did $5 million, your team did, in sales in a single month. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. All of the people who are here because of me have not yet made $5 million in any month or in any year in Lavelle. I've only been a part of this as of now for a little over 2 weeks. So we are all brand new. And I think we have an immense opportunity because as brand new people, we're speaking to you.
Yeah. Yes, welcome. How fun.
Thank you. So I'm hoping for some really good insights. If we can, I'd love to spend about 30 minutes together, not more than that, because everybody's got to go make some money in whatever they do. Okay?
Yes, you bet.
Couple of quick requests. One is, I'm guessing you do a fair amount of public speaking, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So I want you to talk to me just like we're sitting next to each other on an airplane. Because I know when you do a lot of public speaking, you kind of get in the groove and you have these phrases. Not just you. I mean, we all do. So I just want this to be a really honest, candid conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the second thing I'm going to ask, if this is okay with you, is we don't make it about Lavelle or Thrive because everybody here is already sold on that. So really, the agenda is we want to understand how you worked your magic and how you did what you did so we could do what you do. Is that fair?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. So just to get to know you a little bit, where'd you grow up?
In Montana.
And you still live in Montana?
I do.
Can you tell us when you were younger what your perception was of a millionaire? Like, was this something you just always knew you're going to be?
No. I thought I would be a doctor. My dad's a doctor. So that to me was the pinnacle of wealth. So I planned on doing that. But then when I started out in college, I had, so part of what you all need to know is I was really very shy growing up. I would always have my sister do all the talking for me if we were out and about. Or, you know, shopping, and I failed public speaking in college, and so I actually gave up on my dream to be a doctor because I didn't believe it would be possible for myself because of all of my, I tend to get anxiety, so then I thought, well, then what's the point in doing something like that because then I didn't think I would succeed at it, but it would take me all those years, so I gave up, and I became a teacher. Which was great.
At what point did you give up the doctor? Like, when did you let that dream go?
In college, when I was about 21. Well, and I should also mention, I was in a really abusive relationship. I was engaged for 2 years, and it was horrible. So this is an important part of my story because I had lost all confidence. And so that piece of my story is important because I feel like so many people – we go through different struggles and then we just give up on our dreams and we think that it's not possible for ourselves. So I love to share my story because I'm proof that it is possible because twice in my adult life, I've lived on public assistance and food stamps. I've traveled throughout the world and volunteered in girls' schools in India, Nepal, and Japan. And we built this business literally from the ground up, and it's a representation of my commitment to overcoming the challenges that I faced and making the decision that if I had this dream and desire to succeed, that I had to drop my story about why I couldn't. So that's an important part. I think a lot of people can resonate with that because almost everybody has had either a horrible relationship at some point. They've had personal challenges or accidents or illnesses to overcome. They've had financial setbacks. This is a business that you can go from crawling your way up out of a hole to incredible success.
I'm really glad that you shared that, because I would guess that a lot of people, especially when they learn of your income, assume that you have advantages, right? They go, oh, well, she can do it because she knows a million people. She can do it because she's a great motivator.
Yeah,
but you're identifying, I think, not only the personal struggle you went through, but the mindset struggle, because at a certain point in your life, you got crushed. But I want to go back and ask you, you're going to be a doctor, you're in an abusive relationship, your dream got crushed. You decided to become a teacher, and did you actually become a teacher?
Yes. I taught in Asia. I taught for an entire year in Japan. And then for 3 years prior to that, I volunteered for 6 months in India or Nepal.
But this was before you got connected with Lavelle?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that was your career, and that was your career path.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing you weren't making a fortune then?
No. Then when I, overseas, I was making practically nothing. I was basically living out of a backpack. But then when we moved back to the United States, and we decided to settle down. I got pregnant with our first son, and that was, at that point, the second time that we lived on public assistance, because my husband went back to school to become a physician assistant, and I got my first teaching job. And
your first what job?
Teaching in the U.S.,
okay.
Teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I made, my salary there was $19,000 a year.
Back in Montana?
Yep.
And your husband was now going back to school to become a physician's assistant?
Yes.
So what is the likelihood at that point of you becoming a millionaire, honestly, in your mind?
Yeah. It wasn't likely, but I'll be honest. I had this underlying belief that I was going to do something big in the world. I kept feeling like God was prodding me. And I had started to change the way I looked at challenges that we faced to see them as opportunities to become the person he designed me to be. And so that was very significant, because obviously I started to have more success as I changed my mindset and looked at these challenges as opportunities.
Before you became connected with Lavelle, did you sell anything ever?
Sorry, is this telling my mom goodbye? They're just leaving. I had sold for two other companies. One was jewelry, and another one was linen.
With linens, like sheets, bedding?
Yes, yep.
Okay, and you were still a teacher at the time? This was just like a sideline that was going to bring you extra money?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so what I'm looking for, and don't reveal right away, what I'm looking for is where the mindset shift really happens. Because I like what you said, that all along you knew you were going to do something great in this world. You didn't know what it was. You felt you were being led. God had his hand on you. And somewhere along the line, you decide that maybe jewelry is the way to do it. And now, were you suddenly a natural salesperson? Did you just crush it with the jewelry business?
No, I wasn't a natural, but I was highly coachable. And I think because I had faced the challenges that I've already shared with you and overcame them and started to believe that if I just trusted my intuition, I wouldn't be led wrong. I started to change the way I learned. And I made the decision that if I was going to create any kind of side stream of income, I'd better learn how people do it. So I became very coachable. And then, yes, I did become very successful with selling linens and jewelry because I learned how to do it.
Was it a direct marketing, a multi-level type company?
Direct sales.
Okay, so that, okay. And did you have a great, you said you were very coachable, did you have a great mentor or sponsor or upline person who really drove you forward?
Yes. In the linens company, absolutely, yes. And I had, both companies were very good at plugging you into personal development. So Jim Rohn became one of my favorites. Yeah, love what all of his teachings.
Sure.
And
sure.
And I loved Think and Grow Rich and Kelly Howell Universal Mind Meditation, all of the great classics. I studied them like it was a university course. And
you know, it's interesting. It almost sounds like trite and silly when you suggest that somebody read Think and Grow Rich, especially now because it's so antiquated. But I can't even tell you how many hugely successful people have that story in their background of just breaking down and reading that book and following it and paying attention and starting to believe, and that's where it starts to change. So I love that you did that, and your belief started to shift, your confidence started to improve, and then you started to see results. Money was coming in from jewelry and from linens. Did you then believe, wow, I'm going to make a lot of money here?
No, not really. I felt like it was kind of like spinning my wheels. Like, I started to realize that I was investing all of my time. And believe me, Montana is one of the top four largest states geographically, and we have more cows than people. So you better believe that I was traveling, driving all over the state, sleeping in my car. I was doing a lot of hard work to sell those products, but there wasn't residual income because if you weren't selling, you weren't making any money. So I hadn't yet learned about network marketing. And in fact, I'd heard about some of what company were you in again?
Me?
So, yeah.
I was in Isagenix.
Yeah. So my mom had done that. Back when I had first started teaching, and I remember learning about it, and I was like, no way in heck am I ever going to sell a supplement. And, like, I thought it was the biggest sellout, right? I was like, I'm going to be a teacher. No way. Anyway, it's kind of funny how I ended up in a network marketing company selling
supplements. What was your personal attachment to health or fitness at that point in your life? Anything?
Well, my husband is very, very fit and knowledgeable about nutrition. And so I kind of had, I had resistance because he was always being so fit and disciplined. And so I got kind of jaded about it. So I kind of went opposite, you know, like a spoiled child who was like, well, I'm not doing that because you think I should type of thing. But then it was through all of the traveling and doing all of those parties all over this place that I ended up hurting my back. And I realized at that point, without health, you don't really have a very bright future. And so I made the decision to start prioritizing my health. And that was in my later 30s. And I started to work out.
Can I just interrupt for a second to ask whoever just joined us in the last 5 minutes, hit *6 to mute. Anyone who just signed in, just hit *6 to mute. Go ahead, Elise. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, perfect. I had made that decision at that time that I was going to start prioritizing my health. And to be honest, I kind of just dabbled in pretending that I was healthier, but I really wasn't. I didn't really have a routine, but in my mind, I started to convince myself I was working out and I was taking a different supplement line. And I started to create that story in my head that supplements don't work.
That's funny. You weren't even committed to pretending. You were just dabbling in in pretending.
Exactly.
So when
mind.
You now, of all things, your mom shows up with this line of products and you're like, Mom, please, no way. I don't even want to look at it. Right.
Yep.
So there's a little bit of irony there.
Yep.
did you sense at that point the stigma of multi-level network marketing? Because you said you really hadn't been exposed to it. But, I'll just share this briefly. For a lot of years, I did a radio show. I was on the television news. I did seminars. A lot of people. So I was a target. So a day didn't go by that people are showing up, you know, trying to sell me products. They would ambush me. I was invited to a friend's house for dinner, and a guy shows up with a flip chart. So I developed such a distaste for multi-level marketing, and I felt like most of the products were inferior. So there was a wall around me. I wonder if you had anything similar.
Yes. Because people in my jewelry company had strong opinions about it. So I had never looked at it from the other angle. I had only heard other people's opinions, and then I was influenced. I wasn't being very self-directed.
All right. So at what point does Thrive show up for you?
Well, so, like I said, I hurt my back. I was really burnt out driving around in blizzard after blizzard and that winter. And I started to realize that I was just spinning my wheels, and we weren't going to create any financial freedom. We had six figures in debt from student loans and a house we couldn't sell when the economy crashed. And so when one morning I woke up and it was dumping snow again, and I homeschool my kids, and I was just a mess. Like, so stressed out, up all night thinking about our finances and how we were going to just be slaves to Rob's job or whatever we were doing until we were old and with no money. So I decided...
Wait, you were older or you were old? You weren't old.
No.
You're not old, are you?
No. I was thinking I'm never going to get out of debt. Like, we're going to be old and still in debt.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Hey, Elise, bear with me a second. I'm going to mute everybody, and then you hit *6 to unmute, okay? Let's see if that works better. Hold on.
Yep. All right, here I am.
Okay, beautiful. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, one morning I just woke up, was literally on my knees in my kitchen and prayed to God, please show me what I'm meant to do in this world. This isn't it. And I feel awful and nothing's going right and we're drowning in debt. Something's got to change. And it was that day that I saw the Thrive Experience flash across my newsfeed on Facebook. And I think I was open to it because I had asked God to show me something that I was meant to do. But here's the funny thing again. I didn't see it and think, oh, my gosh, I'm going to sell that.
Right.
I thought and thought, well, maybe I could take a supplement and feel better and figure out what in the heck I'm going to do with my life and how we're going to bring some money in and pay off all this debt.
Okay.
And so I started – go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go.
So I started my Thrive Experience, and honestly, in the first 3 days, did not like it because I went through a detox. Because, like I said, I hadn't been taking care of myself. I would even sneak and go through the McDonald's drive-thru, get fries, a shake, sometimes a Coke. Like, it was that. I was embarrassed about that because, like, my husband here, he's super healthy and on top of it. And on the one hand, I'm like granola mom who talks about organic food, but yet I would go through a drive-thru. Ridiculous. So I thought, well, I'm going to take this product and see how it works. And I didn't tell Rob that I was taking it because I was embarrassed to be paying for the next new thing on the market. And
without being too graphic, or unless you want to, we can handle it. What was the detox? What were you experiencing that made you not like it?
I just felt like crap. Like,
okay.
I felt like headachey, joint achy, stomach ache. You know, I didn't feel good. Like, people would talk about thriving and how great they felt. Well, I felt like crap. So
okay.
I didn't want to continue with the product. So my friend put me on the phone with Sheila, and Sheila is our upline. And she was like, well, why don't we adjust how you're taking it and just go down to taking less product. Like, she said, do maybe a tablespoon of the shake mix each day for a few days, and then we'll add in the capsule and the DFT gradually. Because here's the other thing. I am a highly sensitive person. Like, I'm super sensitive to caffeine, to medications, oftentimes other vitamins out there on the market make me sick to my stomach. So, and you're going to find that you'll have some people like that. So they're really good people to slowly start on the product. And
right.
So I'm really glad that she walked me through that, because I obviously didn't even think that would be an option, nor did I think that it would really work. But I bought it a month's worth, so I thought, I'll just try and see what can happen, because even just a little bit of these nutrients should be beneficial to the body. So I, by my second week, my husband had been in Denver for a medical conference. He came home, and I remember we were in the kitchen, and by then I started to feel better. I wasn't reaching for to make a latte in the morning. It didn't take me like 3 hours to feel awake in the morning. I wasn't finding myself sitting in the parking lot of Target just scrolling Facebook, trying to resist, just kicking back my seat and taking a nap. So I found that when Rob came back, he was like, there's something different about you. What is going on? And I said, well, I started taking a new supplement, and this is it. And I hand him the boxes, and he looks at it. And he has his background as a PA is in sports nutrition and orthopedics.
Okay.
And he's actually developed his own supplement for post-surgical patients. So he knows supplements and the sourcing and the whole nine yards. That's his passion. So he looks at the product and he goes, well, there's nothing out of the ordinary here. Maybe you should order it for me too. And at that point, I was like, wait a minute. If he can see a difference and he wants to try this, I think that we could earn the bonuses, those first two bonuses.
All right. So when you signed on, you were just a customer or did you come on as a promoter? Just a customer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had no desire to build the business. None.
Okay.
Like I said, this was going to be my bridge to feeling better, to figure out what I was going to do with my life.
Right, right.
Not yay, let's self-thrive. It wasn't that. So he decided to order. I decided to upgrade to free promoter, and I called my best friend, my mom, and my cousin. And so then I had two customers and two promoters, and I earned the $660 bonus in my first 24 hours. Then by day four, I had earned the next bonus, another $660 on the next 800 in online orders. And then by day five, I earned the iPad. And by day five as well, we started to have duplication. So
Elise, how long ago did you get involved? Sounds like it wasn't that long ago.
It was 4.5 years.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, so you're on a roll. Your first week, you're just rolling, and then by the second week, you're seeing, hey, we can make some money here.
Yes. And I'll tell you, the company at that point was only 10 months old. So there wasn't a lot of leadership support. You know, everybody was just figuring things out. We didn't really even know how to host a live event. Like, literally, everybody was, like, throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what would stick.
Sure.
And so I started to see duplication within my first week, and I earned my car bonus by week three. And then a couple weeks later, my best friend's brother, who is a cowboy through and through, no experience in sales. And literally, he just is a cowboy. He was riding cattle pens, doctoring calves. And I got with him and said, listen, because Paul, our CEO, I would be on the phone with him because I decided if I was going to become a promoter, I was going to be at 200K. Like, it was non-negotiable. So I kept bugging my uplines to put me on the phone with our CEO. And at that time, he was so available, which he is still today, but not there's more pressure for his time. But he kept saying to me, this business is free. Your friends can join for free. They don't have, you know, they can start earning their bonuses, their car bonus. And so I said to Brody, you know what, let's see if I can test this out. Because I had never been in a company that had this type of compensation plan. So I wanted him to be my guinea pig. And he was like, okay, what do I got to do? I said, well, you know how you're loving your Thrive experience. Can you think of some friends that feel that way? They're struggling to get through the day. They're exhausted. Their back hurts. Their knees hurt, whatever. And he was like, oh, yeah, like 100 friends. So I said, all right, cool, because he was always working. I said, so all I need you to do is when you're driving to or from work, you call up a friend, you ask them about how they've been feeling lately, tell them I've found something that's going to change your life, and at that point merge me on the phone. And we did that for 3 weeks, and he earned his car bonus with zero experience in sales.
Okay, this is beautiful. Hold on, let me stop you here. Let's get a freeze frame. Because what you did, you're still, you have two things going on at once. Your mindset, which always knew you'd be something great, is really starting to now tune in on there may be a real opportunity here. But you're not 100% sold until you get the guinea pig. You're like, I'm believing, but let me try this out with somebody. And somebody who's not even that likely. And you made it
right.
so simple. You said when you're driving to work, I'm reiterating what you said, when you're
yep.
driving to work, just call one friend, ask him about his pain or his need or whatever's troubling him, tell him you've got the solution, and then you said, and put me on the phone?
Yep, and then just
beautiful.
So here's the other thing. I had to teach him how to do a three-way call. He didn't even know how to do that on his phone.
Okay. And then
so,
are you literally just getting them to order the product right on that first phone call?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of the time. Most of the time, because essentially when I do my calls, I follow a formula, which you guys all have access to in the vault. Have you found the vault yet?
Nope.
Okay. It's listed under leader updates on the cloud. You can go to
okay.
WeThriveVault.com. WeThriveVault.com. And there's a folder there called Getting Started for the New Promoter. You have a New Promoter's Guide that you can print. All of you should do this. And all of this, all of those resources have been created from our experience and what we know works and duplicates. And so back then, we had none of this. So I would just keep notes in my phone on my app, the Notes app. And I followed an outline, which is called the Three Threes of Lavelle. And basically what that is when you get on a three-way call or a conference call or a local, you follow this outline. It works in all three different scenarios. And what this is the three core products, there are three steps to the ideal Thrive experience, and then the three highlights of our rewards and our business plan. And the three core products, as you all know, are Capsule Lifestyle Mix and DFT. The three steps for the ideal Thrive experience is you take one or two capsules first thing in the morning on an empty stomach, and 20 minutes later, make your lifestyle mix with your choice of liquid, put the DFT on clean, dry skin and a lean area of the body, and you're done for the day. Drink half your body weight in ounces of water, and don't drink Coke, energy drinks, coffee, et cetera, during the day, or you can mess up your Thrive experience. And then the three highlights of the rewards plan, everyone joins for free. Everyone has the opportunity to earn their products for free when they refer two friends to order on AutoShip. And finally, you have the opportunity to earn $600 in bonuses on your first $800 in online orders. And then the leader can share their brief story before or after that outline, and then ask the prospect, you know, what fits your needs better right now? Would you like to be a customer or promoter? And some of them have already set up their account, so just speak to that. And then say, okay, what would your goals be here? And then ask them open-ended questions to help them start talking about what they want. And then it's easy to help them get the order in. So that's how we did it, right out of the gate.
How much time were you spending on the phone in those days, honestly?
I was spending enough time on the phone that we had a family meeting, and I gave all of the household duties to my husband.
Okay, so there comes a point that you absolutely commit. You're all in. There comes a point that you go, I see the potential. This
mm-hmm.
is working, but I'm going to work it. It doesn't take care of itself.
Of course.
You roll up your sleeves and you get to work, right?
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah, 100%. And that
but the beauty is that you get rewarded. You're not waiting months to see the payoff.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing
oh, no.
reward from week to week.
Absolutely, every single week. My check went up, up. By week six, I had passed earning $1,000 a week. So it was
you know, and then you start building, of course, a network.
Mm-hmm.
And as yep. you're doing that, you know, your cowboy friend, of course, is a personal friend. Is he still with the company and doing well?
Yes.
Okay. But there are lots of people that you don't know, right? There are his friends, and then there are friends of them. And
yep.
How important is it for you to connect with those people? Because we know it's about duplication or replication. So in theory, you only have to connect with your people, and then they do the same. But I'm curious, as you're building your $1 million in your first year, how committed do you become to those people that you have the third-party telephone conversations with?
Do you mean to the prospects or to developing leaders?
Developing leaders. Let's say, for example, your cowboy friend puts you on the phone with somebody who becomes a promoter.
Mm-hmm.
Are you now taking responsibility for seeing that promoter's success, or are you simply coaching the cowboy?
Oh, no. I actually provide support throughout the network, because a lot of people come in, they don't have that same vision, and so they may not duplicate in the same way with the same focus and tenacity because they don't have that vision. For me, like I said, I came in and I knew, like, it's cliche, but if it's meant to be, it's up to me. And so I dig down into my network to find the people who are the rising stars. And then we do what's called breakthrough calls, where I get on the phone with them as a three-way call with their leader. So I don't do this just with the person, but the leader then
right.
gets to be on to hear how we do these calls. Essentially, what we do is we map out a plan. We see where their limiting beliefs are and what's holding them back. And then I can coach them into creating their action plan. And then we also go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh,
you go.
I was going to say, we also do level up leadership weekends. And we do those about every 2 months. We have these events around the country with our team.
And is that something that the company initiated, or is that something you initiated?
I did. I saw it as a need, because we had leaders that were growing, but then they would get stuck. Have you ever read The Big Leap?
Sure.
So when he talks about the upper limit problem? So we started to identify that there were some people that would hit a certain level of success, and then they start to sabotage it. And they wouldn't really be conscious of doing it, but through these coaching weekends, we were able to unravel a lot of that, and then people were able to break through and explode their businesses. It's been so cool to see the culture that's built as a result. We started implementing these weekends last fall, and everything is exploding.
I'm curious. I'm going to keep you another 10 minutes if I can. Do you have 10 more minutes?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I'm sure in working with networks of people and getting deeper and deeper and deeper that you've learned to predict who will
mm-hmm.
succeed and who won't, although sometimes you can't predict, right? Sometimes people surprise
yep.
you. But you
yep.
kind of develop a sense for it. You've now seen enough at a certain point to see who's likely to make it and who isn't. Can you identify
right.
the distinction? Like, what attracts you to somebody
mm-hmm.
going, this guy's a potential star?
Right. Well, are they employee-minded or entrepreneurial-minded? Right? That person
right.
that's employee-minded is always looking for somebody to tell them what to do. They're always looking for a reason that is not working for them. They're the type of personality that want to hang around the water cooler in the break room and gossip and complain about the workplace and all the people they work with. Those types of people are really an energy drain.
Mm-hmm.
They can overcome it. They're not like any of these personality traits I'm describing. Anybody can cultivate the ones that are going to create success for themselves. But when everyone's operating on autopilot, then they just kind of fall into their, you know, daily MO. And for some people, that's a scarcity mindset, and they just like to complain about stuff. The people that tend to have what I call the it factor are those who are charismatic and likable. They have a vision for what they want. They have the desire to take daily action on the profit-producing activities, not just like scrolling the Facebook news feed and hoping someone inboxes them. Like, they're the ones who are out there making it happen. And if any of you guys are into history, I'm really into history, especially the history of like the Western expansion. And I love to read about what the families went through to go out west and settle. And I kind of equate it to that when you're building your own business. I don't care if you're building it here in Laval or a different business, like my brother-in-law opened a hot tub store. I mean, you got to have this vision for what you want to create, and then you got to be willing to stay out of the mud, which I call, you know, falling prey to the gossip, negativity, and commiserating that's so common in our culture. And
right.
you got to keep your eye on the horizon and just say, I'm going for it, and have that pioneering spirit that's going to take you through all of the adversity to achieve what it is that you desire.
So you didn't say you're looking for the entrepreneur versus the employee. You said you're looking for the entrepreneur mindset versus the employee mindset. So it's quite likely that somebody who's worked as an employee really receives this and they grasp the concept. Because I think you'll agree with me, at the bottom line, at the core of it, it's all mindset, but mindset is not enough. That's where it starts. Then it's action and lessons and follow through and resilience, and that's what you're calling the entrepreneur mindset. So when you taste that in somebody, when you feel that from somebody, that's the person who gets your attention.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I'm on the phone with them. I'll reach out to them. I'll reach out to their leader and say, get me on the phone with that person. And a lot of times I'll tell my leaders, you got to bring these people to me too if you start to see them, because all they need is for someone to fan those flames a little bit, because they're starting to build belief in themselves, but they're probably not very yet secure in that belief. Because that was definitely me when I started. If I didn't have our CEO reaching out to me saying, you got what it takes, let's do this, he mentored me a lot throughout my beginning years, even up until today. And, it's identifying those people and cultivating that and protecting that.
You know, I've been exposed to two different schools of thought in network marketing, although when you see them, they appear to be the same. One school of thought is it's purely a numbers game. People, 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 more people. The other one is, you've got to really care, you've got to really nurture, and you really have to bring value to the people that you recruit. And both of those can be traps at some level, because if you care too much or you get too sucked into those that you're calling the energy drain, it beats you up, right? But the other perspective, I think you just run over a lot of people that could have been superstars. So how do you find that balance? Is it simply by having that first conversation and assessing?
Well, to some degree, it is a numbers game, because you have to talk to a lot of people to find people who are open and ready to change.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people want change, but they're not ready for it yet. They consciously haven't decided, I'm sick of this old way and I'm no longer available for it. And I'm ready to be who I'm meant to be, right? Because I truly believe there is like an abundance of success available to anyone who's willing to get out there and go after it. And because you basically create your own success, in my opinion, because you get through your mindset and then your action, obviously that's what you create in your life. So the other part, like you said, is cultivating the leaders. Yes, you do also cultivate the leader, but remember, the entrepreneurial minded person can identify where the energy drains are happening, and they don't go into codependency trying to keep everybody happy, because they know in order to be their best and to serve at their highest level that they have to protect their energy. So that's another piece, is you're identifying, where do I leak my energy all over trying to please others or fall prey to other people's opinions, when in all actuality I can only do what I can do and serve other people to my highest level in that way. And that's where we create that highest level of success.
Elise, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for taking the time. I have three more questions that I just want to get a little bit of additional insight from you, and then we'll set you free and really thank you. But it sounds to me, on the surface, like you made mistakes, you had a rough life, you had some real challenges, you had financial stress, and then things turned around and it was just this big bright light, and all of a sudden you became this huge success. But I'm curious, can you tell us about the wall that you hit, or anything that kind of crushed your self-doubt or made you wonder if this is real once you got to the point that you saw the potential? In other words, was it truly a straight line up, or somewhere along the way did you go, I don't know if I'm cut out for this, or I don't know if this is really going to be what I expect it to be? Was there doubt along the way, or once it clicked, it just clicked?
No. I would, like, in a total moment of transparency, the biggest challenge that we faced, and I say we, is because I got so fueled by the business and the success, I started to not be available to my marriage. And this is something that I've noticed can be very classic in this entrepreneurial face of building an online business is you can get a lot of positive feedback from social media. So it's very easy to create addiction to your phone because you're getting fueled up here, and then you get resistance from your spouse who's like, why are you always on your phone? You know, but you're like, well, I don't want to deal with this negativity over here, so I'm going to go and be where it's positive. So anyway, last summer, we had the come to Jesus conversation between my husband and I, and we were both very honest about it, and we made the decision that because I would always say, oh, yeah, my marriage is my most important thing, but I wasn't treating it like it was. And he was then retreating and going into his hidey hole. So we had to make the decision that really, why do we do this? We are doing this because we wanted to create freedom for our family. We didn't want the family to be torn apart because of building a business online. So what we made, we were like, we're both really smart people. So we made the decision to get the resources and support needed to figure out how to build a business from home together and make it work as a team versus like me feeling like I was the big money earner. And let's be honest, he in his own right is also 200K. He's also a millionaire and he's built his own life. And that's, you can do that in Lavelle. A lot of companies, you can only have one person in a partnership building a business. But in Lavelle, we allow two people. So both of us had become millionaires in the company. And so then I started getting that attitude of, well, I don't need you anymore. And so it was very unhealthy in that sense. So we decided to rein it in and figure it out. And like I said, we got the resources we needed, and we identified where we would slip into these habits that weren't supporting our vision for partnership together. And so we decided we were going to realign our values and our, how do you say, like our, create some new daily habits that would create success in our marriage, because we knew how to do that in our business. And to be honest, all the way, our whole married life up until Lavelle had been struggle. You know, we've been married 18 years, and it was going through school, it was traveling, it was teaching overseas, it was all that debt. And so we were always struggling, and we moved 14 times in 16 years. And so things were kind of crazy in that way. We'd never really had a time in our married life that we had been financially secure. And so I think part of our relationship issues that had developed were a result of that. And again, anybody who builds a business as an entrepreneur has to figure out where they go into these self-sabotage scenarios for themselves, because everybody does it. We're human. Of course we're going to do that.
Yeah. No, I'll make two comments. You said and, so go ahead, continue, then I'll make my two comments.
Well, I was just going to say, you're like, my struggle came down to my marriage, right? Like, but anybody's struggle is going to come up as something. Like, it's not building a business and creating millionaire income, you don't do it without struggle. Like, and that's what I said to my husband when we were talking about this last summer, is we know how to overcome adversity. It's a matter of choosing what is our priority. And so that was, for us, our challenge we had to face together. And in building a business, you're going to face that, whether it's learning how to talk to people and build rapport, you're going to face that, whether it's learning how to hop on a three-way call and, you know, as a leader, or you're doing a local, which is one of our live events, or you're doing a team call or a call like this and you're being the host and asking questions. You probably, at first, you lack confidence, but there's resources out there that you can learn how to be a better speaker. You can learn how to build rapport. You can learn how to facilitate. And then it's simply a matter of practice.
The two comments I was going to make, and thank you so much for being that transparent and sharing that with us. But one is, I've been a member, a participant in many roundtable groups of very successful entrepreneurs. And the greatest challenge for all of them always is balance. Once you get beyond the money, it's finding that balance, and it's usually the balance between the business that you love, the business that you bore, the business that you cultivated, and the family. And that's a great challenge, and the truth is not everybody comes out on top. on both sides. The second interesting thing in listening to you is it's really something that most people wouldn't consider, that success can become its own struggle. In other words, you struggle to be successful, you struggle to be successful, and then you get to the place where people think of you as successful, and another struggle grows out of that. So really interesting and fantastic that you guys had the ability to sit down and not only save the marriage, but I'm sure in the long run make it better.
Oh, so like 100 times better. I can't even.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And I was just going to say, I love so much about what Lavelle has done for us in our family. And yes, the money, like you're saying, you achieve a certain amount of money. And yeah, that's the goal. And then you achieve it and you're like, ah. But you know what? I read a study that said people don't tend to be any happier once they earn over $75,000 a year. And I think part of that is because you reach a point where you're then able to pay bills and meet the demands of daily life here in the United States. And what both Rob and I have found is service is what motivates us. And we are happier the more we're in service to others, whether that is building schools through nonprofits in Asia for girls, or that's volunteering, or, you know, feeding the poor, or providing legal services for Native Americans who wouldn't otherwise have that. Like, just finding what is it that God has gifted you with a desire to serve, and the more money,
because it makes you feel fulfilled, and it makes you feel significant, and money doesn't do that.
Well, but here's the thing, money does also do that, because the more I step into my gift and get out of my own way, the more money I made, the more money I make, the more I can serve others, because there's certain things in the world that they need financial backing. And if you're not really living to your fullest potential, then you're not really able to give to your fullest potential and create that kind of impact.
Right, right. So it's not the money that does it. It's actually what you do with the money. So the money gives you the power to serve in a bigger way. But ultimately what you're saying is it comes down to serving. What a beautiful way to live your life, earning by helping people and using your earnings to help people. It goes full circle. All right, I want to wrap up with two things so people could just walk away with just some real clarity as to what their next step is. So day one, new promoter, what's the best advice? And before you answer, I know that there are, you know, within all of these organizations, there's enthusiasm. And the enthusiasm, you know, pours down, and everybody uses the word, I'm so excited you're on board. And then they start just verbal diarrhea of all the opportunity and all the things people have to do. And honestly, at first, the new promoter's listening, and after a while, they go brain dead because they can't even understand what you're talking about. So how do you program new promoter from day one to lead them to success? Where do you start them?
Well, first of all, if you're speaking to whoever the sponsor is that's listening, it will better serve you to plug them in to the resources that we already have for you. So you're the messenger, not the message. I'm sure you guys have heard that in your prior experience. You want to be the person who connects these individuals to the information, because we as leaders and our CEO, we've done a very good job in distilling down all of the information into what matters most. Because otherwise, you'll be throwing spaghetti at the wall, trying to figure it out. And then you're going to be, it could take you longer, right? And we've seen a lot of leaders who have gotten stuck, and it comes down to ego because they want to do it their own way, and they get stuck. And so once they realign and they're like, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to do it the way that will best serve the prospect, right, then they're off and running again and have exploded to 200K. So basically, when you come on, you're bringing your new promoter on board, the first thing to show them is the vault. That's the WeThriveVault.com. Now, take them to the folder called Getting Started. No, sorry, What to Do First. It's the Getting Started folder. In that folder, you'll see the new promoter's guide. Really, that's all they need to look at in the vault initially in the first 2 weeks. If you want to just send them the direct link to the new promoter's guide to print out, you can do that as well. In fact, Phil, let me know if you think that would be better, because I can have a link created that will take them directly to that file alone, because there is a lot of information in our vault. And we do know that people can get overwhelmed, and when a confused mind says no and shuts down. So make sure that you as the sponsor are giving your prospect bits of information and do it daily as they're brand new. So when you bring on your new promoter, ask them, what would $600 do for your family this week? Because that's the potential they have when they earn that VIP 800 bonus. Really, that's all they want to focus on, is hitting that bonus right out of the gate. So give me two names of somebody that's not sleeping at night or isn't working out or is complaining all the time. So right there, you're having that new promoter give you two names of somebody that they can think of. See, they've already taken their first step. Then you give them, it's in that guide again. It tells you exactly how to do this and what to say. And that's how you start the conversation and merge them on a three-way call. You can share them my favorite website link that we have. So your referral link is the Thrive 2.0 link. If you log into your cloud office, it's listed under the Getting Started steps, step number 6. It shows you that link. And a lot of new promoters don't even know that they have that free website.
Okay, great.
So after that, I would have the new promoter joining us every Monday night at 7:30 Central on Zoom. That's, the link is power30zoom.com. We have a new promoter's Zoom where you will receive training. So make sure you download the Zoom app to your phone. It's free. You set up your free account, and that's how we all do our online meetings. You can dial into that, or you can hop on via video conference.
So it's the same every week. I don't mean the exact same, but it's always for the new promoters.
Yeah, Monday night. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and
that's great to know.
Yep, and we have 2,500 in our network as of today. But we all take turns hosting those meetings, and we have an outline that we follow. So
okay, and I also want to say to Jenny, who arranges call, who's my sponsor, she's been fantastic, and I want to tell you, I might have been a little difficult because I said to her at certain points, don't tell me anymore. Just all I want to know right now, the three products, and how do I make money quick? That's all I want to know, just three products, how do I make money quick? And for me, that was just the easiest way because I didn't want to be confused.
No. Well, and so if Jenny's listening, I hope, I don't know, but hopefully she said, let me get you on the phone with my 200K. Like,
Jenny, you can unmute if you want to hit star 6. Jenny? Okay. All right. Now, what about when somebody gets to, let's say, a 40K rank?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think the apprehension I have is that they find some level of comfort. In other words, the hunger doesn't always become this contagiasm. Mm-hmm. Now they're starting to make money and they're okay. So is there a different kind of strategy now for coaching them beyond that point?
Yes. Yeah. At that point, it's cultivating the human desire to create impact. Because, the money starts to be good at 40K, right? It tends to be money that people haven't really ever earned before, especially as a side gig if they're already having an income source, right? Or a spouse that has a good income. So at that point, it becomes creating impact and service. And once we ignite that, because that, I believe, is part of every person's makeup, is we all have a desire to serve and create impact in the world. And it's fulfilling. So once we tap into that, that's where things just take off. Because at that point, it's literally you're just duplicating 12Ks. VIP 800s and 1600s and 12Ks. And all you got to do is continue to duplicate that, and you'll hit 40K and 80K and 200K.
Hey, guys, this is Jen. I was muted. Can you hear me now?
Okay. Hi.
Yes, Phil, this is just one thought I have, and please correct me or jump in. But with Phil, yes, I tried to get him on the phone with my 200K leaders. And
yes.
But it was, I think it's important too, like you have to work with your promoter and their personality and their desires. So even though I knew, I was like, okay, these are the steps we need to take. This is where we need to go. This is what he needs to listen to. But he wasn't quite, like, he just wasn't there yet. Like, he wasn't ready yet. So it was like I kind of had to step back and kind of, like, rein it back in with Phil just a little bit to get him, you know, there. Because, like, what he was saying, he was like, Jenny, don't tell me all that. I don't want to get in trouble with him yet. Like, just tell me what I need to do this. And so I had to kind of adjust a bit, which was uncomfortable for me, knowing, you know, like listening to all the leader videos and all the leader calls and trying to follow those systems. I was like, okay, well, this guy's really throwing me for a loop. But having said that, he's still being very successful. He's just kind of doing it in his own, you know, his own way a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah, and Jenny, that's why I said, and I hope you heard this part. You've been great. I know that I was resistant coming in. But it was, you know, it was a slow elevation for me, and you sent me the product and did a great job with that. And then I loved the product, and I looked at the opportunity. And then I said, show me how I can make money, and I want to see money come in quickly. And that's exactly what we did. And that's, you know, what brings us here. So I know I'm a little bit of a maverick in that way, but it led us here. And now I'm listening, and I hope everybody's listening because, you know, as you've heard many times, success leaves clues. There's no question that Elisa's followed. Even when you go back to the Napoleon Hill and the Jim Rohn, this is what works. She's just applied it, and she's done a fantastic job with it. But all the secrets she's sharing have always been there. She's just lived it. Am I right, Elise?
Yep. And for those of you who are believers, I'll just throw this side note in. I believe that those works, those writings, Jim Rohn, all, Think and Grow Rich, they're all rooted in what's written in the Bible, which is why it works, in my opinion.
Well, we can't have a better handbook than that, right?
That's right. So it's very exciting to visit with you all. I hope you're not shy, and I'm just a phone call away. You can text me, you can get me on your team calls. If you see somebody that you think they've got the it factor, you know what? Put them on the phone with me, because this is, like, my gift is creating leaders. That's why we're in the top four networks in the company, top four. And we have millions of promoters. Our team, our leadership is committed to layered leadership. We're committed to all cultivating this culture together. Nobody, like, yes, there are a couple of people who have gone rogue and do their own thing, but that's their choice. Those of us who are united and working together, we have created massive momentum as a result. And this team that you're on is part of that group that has raised their hand and said, we're in this together. We're learning together. We're refining together. We're holding each other accountable. None of us are just slacking off. So you're in a really good place. Janelle and Wendy are incredible leaders. Incredible.
Elise, thank you. You've shared a tremendous amount of light. I appreciate it more than I could express. Jenny, thank you for setting this up. And everybody here, there's no excuse anymore. I mean, this is it. You follow the leader. So thank you, everybody.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for your time today. I look forward to our next meeting.
Me too. Okay, bye-bye, everybody. Have a great
bye.
Day.
Bye.